own risk. It's time for some gym music with former big leaguer and president of the Bald is Beautiful fan club, Jensen Lewis.
He was caught in the middle of a railroad track somewhere. Here he is, J. Lou, Jensen Lewis, former Tribe hurler, on the bullpen phone. Crow's Nest Masters, the only guy I know that wants to perfect a box the Masters. Never seen that before. Sending me horse picks. I wrote him back, man. He said, wait a minute, you're trying to perfect a box the Masters?
Yeah.
Like, you got J. Lou out here trying to predict not only who's going to win it, but who's going to come in second with the dude that's coming first.
Yeah.
That's risky business, sir.
Yeah.
What about the risky business with Trevor Bauer? Are you here to defend him or praise him? I want to ask you this. When MLB sends out a memo to all their teams saying that, you know, we're going to enforce this stuff, we're going to look at StatCast, we're going to see spin rate changes for any of these guys that we think are using substances, do you think, hey, that's a little over the top, or do you think this needs to be done, and you think Trevor Bauer should be on the suspicion list?
I'm here for Garrett Cole and the popcorn next to him. I can tell you that. I can't wait to see what the reaction will be because, you know, we talk about karma all the time. If you're going to dish it out and it comes back around, you're going to have to deal with it. So I don't know any hitter that is really worried about, you know, guys having at least some tack. But you can't go all Michael Pineda on it and, you know, have it so visible and just so atrociously out there that – all right, you're manipulating the ball here. So I think we're a little early here. I want to kind of be in wait and see mode and dig in a little bit more and see what we know on the back end here. But this is a fascinating situation considering, you know, what he accused Houston of, their staff, a bunch of guys, and now it may have come full circle to really bite him.
You know, J. Lou, when you scan across MLB.com and you go to the home run leaders in Major League Baseball right now, sitting at number one won't be a surprise. You got Nick Castellanos there, but then tied for first, you scan across the name, Tyler Naquin. J. Lou, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, too soon, as I tweeted at you, Maddie. A lot of people up here looking at the Indians' lack of offense this far and saying, well, gosh, Tyler Naquin would have looked pretty good in this outfield and certainly what he's done from the leadoff spot. Yeah, you mentioned Castellanos, kind of a usual suspect. We thought that if he got off to a really good start, you know, he'd be a guy up there. Byron Buxton, too. I mean, that's a fascinating name. And then Ryan McMahon playing in Colorado. Going out there as well. But I think what Nake has kind of showed you is when he's healthy, and it was even his time, you know, Matty, in Cleveland. He was batting ninth for Terry Francona a couple years ago, and before he crashed into the wall in Tampa with a season-ending knee injury, he really was helping the bottom of the lineup so well and being able to turn things back over to Frankie at the top. So I'm not surprised, having known Tyler for a long time and seeing his development. You know, it was just a matter of can he stay healthy consistently. You're seeing basically the fruits of that labor through the first week of this season. And I think that, you know, the boys down there in Cincinnati at the Great American Launching Pad are really going to benefit, and he has thus far.
All right, let's set up this weekend. It seems to be, you know, it's going to get late early here. We're doing over-unders on if they can score more than 8.5 runs in 3 games. Like, we're trying to figure out. So where do you stand on your confidence that this is just early and they will come around, or this is going to be a serious struggle for a while?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards more of a struggle because I think we had talked about it last week. When you look at the schedule, this is really the end of the quote-unquote soft part, because you're going to go on the road for 4 against the White Sox. Then you're going to go down to Cincinnati the way they've started. We just talked about it. You got a weekend series there. Then you're going to get the White Sox back at home, and then you get the Yankees and the Twins. So we've kind of said this the last couple of years with those clubs, and I'll even throw Cincinnati in it, the way they're swinging the bat to start the year. You don't score 4 runs, you're not winning. It's just plain and simple. I mean, you can't ask this starting staff to really go through those lineups night in and night out and expect to hold them to 3 runs or less. That's going to be nearly impossible. So you hope that they can get healthy this weekend. You know, seeing Tehran tonight again for the second time, You hope that he kind of blows up what you would expect, a J-Ram, the way he's been swinging, to obviously get his. But, you know, again, it falls in the middle. Eddie Rosario had a nice series against Detroit opening weekend. Franmil still yet to really get on track. And, again, here we are, overreaction month, overreaction week. But, you know, you look at this through spring training, you look at how this lineup kind of set up, you knew it was going to be a struggle, and that's kind of played out so far. Yeah.
You know, not too long ago, Dusty Baker came out with some comments about how fans have been treating them and all that stuff. And I kind of dunked on him, like, get out of here with that, Dusty. You got to know what's coming. But when I zoom out, J. Lou, like, it's still the Houston Astros. When you look at the core of that lineup, what are you expecting from, you know, Dusty and his gang this year?
Maddie, they were a club I really liked to win the West, along with the LA Angels, and to see how they have really been able, and again, just a week in, but the way that they've been able to overcome losing George Springer at the top of the line, I mean, you would never know, you know, the way they've been swinging it. Obviously, Michael Brantley hitting in the two hole, Altuve doing what he's doing, Correa, and then a guy like Kyle Tucker, who, you know, they needed to find a way to get the youth in there and have the youth produce. I mean, thus far, it's been a really, really impressive group. And it won't shock me if they can kind of continue this. I mean, they're plus 31 in run differential. That's tied for the best in the big leagues along with the Reds. So this, I don't think this is a fluke whatsoever. I think they really are playing with a chip on their shoulder because of, you know, banging trash cans at all the you know, the visiting stadiums. I think they're going to take it to heart. That'll be a source of motivation. It's 6-1 right now. You can tell it's really paying off.
All right, you were a guy that could weigh in on this. Hernandez being the worst ump in baseball. But I want to ask you this way. Is his biggest crime his inconsistency? Or is his biggest crime he really doesn't know what a strike is? Like, is he squeezing? Like, to me, is he a pitcher-friendly umpire or a batter friendly umpire, or you just never know on a given night?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. You just never know. And that's really the hard part about going into a game where he's going to be behind the plate, is you may get a call in the first inning that you won't get in the eighth, but it's the exact same spot. And it's happened too many times. And you talk about consistency. You know, if you're consistently off the plate in the outside corner and you're calling that a strike for both sides, you're not going to get a ton of pushback. But if you call it out there in the first inning and then all of a sudden you ball a guy with the bases loaded, that's not going to fly. And there's been too many examples where he has been so bad. I mean, just downright awful with strike calls. I don't know how guys get through, you know, some games. I mean, I remember a handful of times with him being behind there. Thankfully, he didn't, you know, mess with me on some ball and strike calls, but gosh, I mean, you guys watch, you know, you can see it. It's pretty easy. You don't even need the K box. We all can kind of see it. It is just still mind boggling that he's in there, you know, every third, fourth day and still able to do this, really costing teams some games.
Do want to head back to the AL Central with you and ask you about these Kansas City Royals. Like you said, very early on in the process of this season, but I kind of like some of the moves they made this offseason. J. Lou, I've always been a Jorge Soler guy. If he could piece together, he could be a beast in the middle of a lineup. But do people need to wake up at all to what Kansas City could be doing this season?
100%, Matty. I had said before the season, they're the scariest team no one's talking about, and you know, we got a front row seat to that for a couple of days. Yeah, obviously, everyone knows Whit Merrifield, Salvi Perez. But it's going to be the Andrew Benintendi coming over and really providing a boost and some protection for Witt at the top of the lineup. Carlos Santana is batting third. He's going to get his walks. He's going to find his way on base. He made a game-saving double play on Monday in the home opener that if it gets by, the Indians tie the game and got a chance to win that. So the top is great. When you can afford to bat Soler and Hunter Dozier in the back third of the lineup, that really can tell you the lengthening that both Benintendi and Santana are really bringing to that lineup. And Mike Matheny knows how to run this group. I mean, he's got a lot of options now from a depth perspective that he probably didn't have. Michael A. Taylor, yeah, okay, you would talk about guys you didn't expect to come out of the chute, just rip-roaring. He has been really nice coming over from Philly at the bottom of their lineup and playing the outfield. So if their starting pitching can put it together – night in and night out and kind of give that offense a chance, They're scary. To me, I think that's a team, if you take for granted, they will run right over you. Just ask the Texas Rangers. You know, you didn't need Patrick Mahomes in the stadium to get two touchdowns, but they ended up getting it on their own. So it's going to be a fun team to watch and a really scary team to match up with.
All right, brother. Enjoy the Masters. I hope you make a couple picks to come through here, and have a great weekend, man.
Thank you. Likewise, boys. We'll talk to you next week.